Okay, hi, my name is Bernadette. I just had to share something with you that just happened a few minutes into your talk, and I've been, like, trembling since. So really quickly, it's been hard for me as a young adult to stay passionate about being in the Catholic Church, so I look to people around me that maybe are artistic or something like you. So thank you for doing you, and for the cool bandanas that make us look like a Girl Scout troop. But one of the other things is my dad. My dad passed away, unfortunately, 4 years ago to cancer, and he was a music director for the church in San Diego. And I always look for ways to find a little inspiration from him. Lately, it's been a little tricky. One of your prints is a song that he would sing and play. It says, "Then Sings My Soul." And I was like, well, shoot, I gotta buy that. Like, that's incredible. And then just, like, I panicked, and I'm not a good decision maker, so I just, like, panicked and grabbed another one. And it says, "Turn to God, believe in God, trust Him for a miracle," Padre Pio. A little bit after you started your story tonight talking about just basically finding the beauty and truth from these dark times, I got a text saying that one of my other aunts just found out she's completely cancer-free. And it's been really hard for our family lately. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to cry. But it was so beautiful that the family members who have been struggling with it, they walked away from the Catholic Church. And they've been trying to struggle with how to pray and reach out to people. And I've been trying to tell them, like, little things. And I was just like, holy snap, Jesus, like, this is so cool. And as you're speaking, and you're just someone that I find inspiration from, and I think it's such an awesome example to us as young adults, especially in San Diego, because we're a really cool city with a lot of awesome things out there, to just show us it doesn't have to be super artistic and painting and whatever, just finding your little ways. So thank you, Erica, for having that courage to just continue to tell that story. Because I'm sure it can be boring repeating the same story, but you're incredible, so thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Anybody want to top that?
So you mentioned in your talk that most of your stuff is usually geared toward ladies, but I consider myself a man who definitely appreciates beauty. Would you ever consider a men's line of anything? Because I bought one of your pins. I love Mama Mary also, so I love beauty as much as a lot of people. So
yeah, I think that there's, it's funny, I try to stay in my own lane. Like, I know more feminine things. I think the bandana, like I said, my fiance looks very good in it, and my brother wears it, and my roommate wears it. But I think that I've always felt like a man could speak better, like speak this artist way. I'm not saying like my art is only for women, but there are a lot of great male artists in the Catholic sphere that are kind of happening. I do have a couple bandanas that are coming out that are just like a black and white, which will maybe be more neutral and people will be into that. But I haven't felt, my art comes from my experience. So I can't create really out of something that I haven't experienced. And I have a couple prints I tried to do like a Father's Day line, and I was like, whoa, I think I missed the mark. Like, this is not very manly, or like, you know, there's a couple over there like I gave to my dad for Christmas. So it's difficult. Like, especially I don't know, like me painting a man, I don't know about being a man. So like, I'm probably gonna make it look a little too feminine. I don't know. I'm not answering this question very well. I don't mean that if you are a man, you can't buy one of my prints. And I also will say, like, my beauty, like what I create, is not the only kind of beauty. You know, like, there are so many different kinds of ways to do something that's not maybe a calligraphy, but maybe people like calligraphy and they can do it. So I don't know. That's a really bad answer. I'm sorry. But the pins are neutral, gender neutral, which you got and you're going to wear on your lanyard. So
congrats on your marriage, or you're going
to
be married. What's your biggest piece of advice for relationships, for dating advice?
I mean, you did say anything, so this is on you.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite topics. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll also see that. I like to share a lot about my personal life, which, you know, for better or worse, my poor fiance walked right into that. And he, funny enough, he's a therapist. He's a marriage and family therapist. So he came in and has taught me so much about being in a relationship. So quickly, if I don't bore you, I say this if you don't have hope, because I sometimes needed hope. So we're both 30 and we're getting married. And this is the longest relationship I've ever had. I never had dated anyone longer than 3 months at a time. And I really was bad at being in a relationship. I couldn't find anyone who I was about to say had all the things I wanted, but I'm pretty sure I was getting dumped all the time. So I think I would have probably married someone else had they not dumped me. But something is very different with Paul, like not being afraid of conflict. I think so often what we see on the outside, even of good marriages maybe that we see within the church, like we see all the good things, or maybe we're on Instagram and we see all the good things. And so people don't let us into the arguments that happen. And I really don't share them on Instagram either, because I'm not about to put my fiance's stuff everywhere. But I think what he taught me is that like arguing is okay as long as you learn to argue well and can come to a conclusion and grow together. So it's kind of the same thing. Like, suffering is not bad. Suffering helps us grow. And just like that, like in a relationship, learning how to kind of dig in and be committed to something. And so that has helped me a lot. Because our first arguments, I was like, uh-oh, you're going to break up with me. Abandon ship is basically where I was at. And he's like, it's okay. You can argue. And so for us, it's finding a therapist. It's finding other spiritual community that we can like talk things out or learn from. Or we both individually have therapists, and we have spiritual directors, and we have people in our lives who can help us like experience life, which is not always easy. So yeah, that's my get a therapist for yourself, and then it can really help in a relationship with another person, whether it's your coworker or your significant other.
Hi. You mentioned in your talk how you go to art museums, you really like museums, and sometimes you and your friends have different styles of art that you like to go see. And you even mentioned in the answer to his question about how there's lots of different kinds of beauty. And you know, you may not be able to speak to certain kinds, but they're out there. So I was wondering how you came to that understanding that maybe, you know, your opinion about this thing is beautiful is not necessarily what everybody shares, but you seem to have come to an appreciation that there's a lot of different kinds of beauty out there, but something seems to unite them all. So can you kind of speak to the transcendental nature of beauty?
Yeah, I think our church is a great example of it. Something I'm very struck by in Catholicism is all of the different movements that happen within the church. Like, we're all united in this one belief in the core of Catholicism. And then you have the Franciscans, and you have the Jesuits, and you have all of these different movements that draw people to the same center that is Jesus. And you can exist within that and have different callings, or like, you know, some of my friends are very traditional. I might be more drawn to something a little more contemporary. And so I think beauty is like that, where if like the core of beauty is God, let's say, there's different ways that he can show that, just like flowers. Or so I think if we can fall into a way that says, like, you must be just like me. You must be just like me. And as I've grown and seen that there's so many differences in this world, and like that is beautiful in and of itself. So I think I went to a conference, and there was a huge debate over beauty. And some people were like, it has to be traditional and all of this. And I think we can get caught up in that idea. Time to close up shop.
I didn't know that would happen when we took the projector off.
They're lifting.
That wasn't your cue, but
yeah, gotta go. So I think I think that I've just all. I think that there are some people who are very blessed with understanding of these theological ideas, and everything I've learned is basically through experience and being around really smart people, and being able to see that, like, my best friend likes a different piece of art than I do, and we could waste our time and debate over which one is actually beautiful, or we can accept that we see things differently. We have different perceptions. And I think that's a good lesson in a lot of things, especially in the times that we're in, where everything can be polarized and create more darkness instead of just letting them be beautiful.
Okay, so I was just, this is probably not that much of an important question, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life knowing that I didn't ask this.
Yeah, wow.
So, where did you, because I want to be a traveler when I grow up too, I'm already a grown up, but when I'm older, what, because I'm just curious, what countries in Europe did you travel to when you went to Europe when you were 21?
Austria, you're saying? I didn't go to Austria. I went to France and Holland, and then we went to England. I met a friend there. We went to a bunch of cities in Italy. We went to Switzerland. I did this by myself. I don't know why we're saying we. Why I'm saying we. I met a couple friends along the way, but I went to Switzerland, Prague, and I went to Germany. And I went to Spain, too. So I did a lot. The little train can get you around. What? Is this a joke? I went to Vienna. Are you from Austria?
No.
Oh. All right, you're going to have to explain this to me later. I don't know what's going on. One more question.
Any questions back here? No? Okay.
You kind of mentioned this a little bit, but I was curious. I mean, I think a lot of your insights on beauty were great, and I was curious whether you said most of that was from experience, but I was also curious how much study you've had as well, and how is that influence the things you do and the way that you view beauty?
So I really have I studied anything? I mean, I love to read and things like that where it's more of like maybe diving into other artists' lives. Like a lot of what draws me are people's stories, just like I create out of my own story. So I'm much more likely to read a story of someone's life than to read about their theological teaching on something. And as for like, are you asking in like how I learned certain things, like my art, or you just mean like in overall, like about beauty? Yeah, where I got those from. Yeah, so John Paul II has a really beautiful letter to artists you can look up. So that's one of my favorites, and I've studied that pretty in depth in a silent retreat I went on. I just took it and just kind of teared it apart. And then I tend to see, like, I like reading what popes say, so I'll look up those letters online. And then... yeah, just like saints that I really enjoy, I'll read what they have to say. But it's interesting. It doesn't draw me the way like studying like that. I would rather pick up a book of beautiful paintings and read what the artist said along the side, something like that.
Yeah. There's another question.
Oh.
From Larissa. Larissa interned with our office this summer and did a great job with all of our Instagram posts.
Hello. So I was wondering, you briefly mentioned how your husband is not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering how he supports you in your faith if he isn't Catholic.
Mm-hmm. So it's a question that I get a lot because people are always kind of surprised. And Father Michael is my spiritual director. And Father Michael said to me, because I said, well, I have to marry someone Catholic. And he looked at me and he was like, why? And I was like, well, that's what you do. He was like, okay, well, you're missing a lot of other people out there in the pool of life. Like, God loves them just as much as if he was Catholic or not. So can you find someone who in his heart meets you there. And my therapist jokes that Paul's more Catholic than I am, just in like who he is as a human being. He's a real contemplative at heart. And so I'll tell this story. I like to tell stories. So I was complaining to my therapist the week before I met Paul, and I was not complaining. I was crying a lot, and I was saying, I'm never, ever, ever going to meet anyone ever. This is terrible. And so she said, why don't you join a meetup group, you know, like meetup.com, and do like a book study. And I was like, I don't really like to read that many books. And the only books that I would want to, or that I would want to study are two kind of controversial things, so I don't want to get anyone in trouble here, but I said if he was reading Richard Rohr or talking about the Enneagram, I'd be interested. And so we kind of laughed, and I just like put it off to the side. And then I met Paul the next weekend at my friend's house, and they were having a party, and I saw him, and I thought he was very handsome. And then if you follow me on Instagram, you probably know the story because I tell it, but he was sitting alone eating some tacos. He'd been talking to people the whole evening. And so my brother wanted to leave the party. And so I was like, uh-oh, I got to tell Paul something. And I said to my brother, I'm going to go tell the kids goodbye who were playing around the corner of the house. So I go and I'm walking and I see Paul here. And I was like, oh, it looks like you don't have any friends. And then that was my opening line. And we started talking about the weather. And I was actually coming down to San Diego a year ago to teach another calligraphy class. So I didn't know where Orange County was, really. And then we were looking at a map or whatever. And then he told me he was a therapist. And then I said, do you know about the Enneagram? And then he said he was obsessed with it. And then I said, oh, I learned it from this one guy, Richard Rohr. And he's like, oh, this guy. And he'd been reading the email from Richard Rohr that day. And so then I was like, okay, this man can't be Catholic, but why is he reading this priest's email? So then we went on a date, and then that night at dinner, the next week, he said, oh, do you know who James Martin is? And I was like, yeah, but why do you know who he is? He's like, well, I'm reading this book about Mother Teresa and Thomas Merton. And I was like, okay, like, who is this man? So this is a very long answer to your question, but there's like this small interest in him. And so it was something that he never was afraid of. Like, I never had to explain to him why I'm Catholic, or there was never a debate between us of like him going to Mass. And he has happily gone to Mass with me every day, every Sunday since we've been dating. And so we're getting married in the church, and I would say that I'm very action-oriented, so like I want to paint 100 things, and I want to like drive all over and talk to people and overcommit myself on so many things. And he says, like, let's pray. And it might not be like in the same Catholicism filter, but he and I can connect on a spiritual level. Like, we don't maybe pray the rosary together, but we do pray together. And so I have found great companionship in him, and I really see his goodness. Like, I see God in him, even if our ways that we have found God look different. Does that make sense? And he wears the Marian bandana. And also, at another conference we went to recently, I got a Juan Diego medal, and so I was like, oh, here's this medal. And then he went and got a chain and is now wearing it around his neck. So I think there's a chance for him, but I will say I'm not marrying him with the expectation that he will become Catholic. I had to really make sure that I wasn't marrying him with stipulations, because that's not fair to him or to our relationship. And I really believe in a God of surprises and of miracles, and he can have his own relationship with God without me telling him what he needs to do, and like God can move him in that. Thanks.